It's 6:02. We'll call the meeting, the Odyssey Board of Directors to order. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty, justice. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not usurping your power. Elias Regas will be joining us shortly. He's on the way in. So we'll start the standard order of business. We've got the previous minutes from the last meeting. I did make some corrections for the date on one line and an abbreviation somewhere else.
My computer is here. I'm in it because you did it.
So I just need a motion to approve the minutes.
And could you please ask everybody to mute themselves?
Hold on, what?
Could you please ask everybody to mute themselves?
Everyone, if you're not speaking, if you could press mute. We all have kids and we all know how challenging it is. So I appreciate your patience. Thank you.
I move to approve the minutes. Last time.
I'll second that motion.
I'll second.
Hold on. Ken, did you correct the date for the D?
It's just, no.
Yes, I did correct the date.
Thank you.
Let's start with the head of school report.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm probably going to have to share it with you guys again because, like the last time, there's some sort of restriction on the MacBook that doesn't allow me to be able to
share it.
Project it out. Or I don't know what it is, what's going on. So, who should I share it with?
I think he has a better screen.
Yep.
And this is a borrowed one, so.
What's that?
Your email.
Ken. Dot. I think it should all have
that. Friswara.
It's not automatic.
You know what? Send it to me then. Oh. Anyway, this is.
Appreciate everyone's patience.
Yes, send it to me.
You send it to me?
Okay. All right, so we're about to get the document loaded. Just give us a moment here to get it up. Is it projecting?
It's going almost. Okay.
a little annoying.
All set?
Yeah, but it's kind of coming in halfway.
Well, I also shared it with Ken as well.
Oh, you sent it to me?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Jeff, would you like to start the financial reports while we figure out the technical aspects of this?
Yeah, not a problem.
Okay, great. Thanks for volunteering.
No problem. I'm going to steal this. Marianne wants to stop sharing.
Yes, please stop sharing.
I can share the PowerPoint. Good evening, everyone. Hope we're prepping okay as we are getting towards some wintry weather. Here we go. So we're gonna go through the monthly finance report for through January 31st, 2021. As previously noted, the preliminarily budgeted revenues were $32.3 million. Revenues collected to date are $30.6 million or 94.7% of the budget. I'll get into that a little bit in a minute. Revenues for this month, the big chunk is the state operations final payout. The final majority of the payments from the state have been processed. Approximately $250,000 is still expected for the duration of the year for known adjustments, degree changes, PPL payout reimbursements. Overall, state funding, we expect to exceed our preliminary budget by approximately $400,000. Again, just updates to the administrative years of experience, degrees, things of that nature, and final little calculations from the state kind of nudge us in that direction. Also of note on this is the state sucked back the accidental funds that they had sent for a federal grant that didn't exist. I had previously subtracted that amount out of the projections for our purposes anyways, so it's more of just an actual accounting on what occurred this month. On the expenditure side, the preliminary budget expenditures are $29.1 million. And to date, we've spent $17.3 million, representing about 60% of the budget. This is the actual monthly report. And I'll come back to that when we present for the vote. So real quick, I'm going to talk about what this sort of means for us as we project the rest of the year. So the biggest difference between this month and the previous month is adding in the ESSER II grant that the school has been approved for, which is the CARES Act Round 2 funding. As a state LEA pass-through. Similar to the ESSER Round 1, the allocation is calculated based on a ratio of FY21 final Title I allocations that each school has received. For this grant, the DOE has created 15 activity codes that correspond with 15 focus areas to use the funds. Now, a key item with this is that the funds are available to be spent through September 30, 2023. So there is some time we have to spend the funds as we see fit. So we did have a preliminary budget approved by the state, and the items that we're focusing on the spending the funds on and what is currently projected within the financials is facility improvements to improve air quality and sanitation, which for us was the bipolar ionization for the HVAC. Removing the carpet from the Building 23 cafeteria, increased HVAC maintenance services, supplemental janitorial services, PPE, costs surrounding becoming a testing site using the antigen testing process that we've been pretty successful with thus far, hybrid learning initiatives, IT equipment and Chromebooks, and any personnel costs for that the school will need to make ADA accommodations for its staff and to create redundancies with substitutes as to prevent school closures due to quarantines. So as we look at where we're projecting at the moment, we did in January pay the final invoice for the Building 23 renovation process, and the GMP contracted price, we came in about $30,000 under that. So, you know, kudos to John Stewart and his team for managing that project. The furniture was received earlier in February to fill the classrooms, and I believe they're in use as we speak. So right now my projections are currently showing a positive variance to the preliminary budget for approximately $820,000. The projected year end cash on hand is estimated at $4.5 million. So this includes several programmatic changes that we are probably gonna go through in more detail at a finance committee meeting early in March to go over the final budget before it's proposed to the board next month. So right now on a cash basis investors report, we project to be at 1.5 debt coverage ratio, of which the requirement is 1.1, and 62.7 estimated days of cash on hand at year end. Now within these projections, the entirety of the grant is being spent. Now, if we decide we can do an amendment based on priority shifting, you know, with being having a school open during a pandemic, we're gonna have to be able to shift on a dime if needed. And if we don't spend all of that as and carry it over to the next year, whatever increase of the cash balance that we have because of saving some of that, those federal funds will become restricted. So, you know, that'll won't really push up some of our cash base, but cash basis investors report that that's based on more of an unrestricted cash basis. Any questions based off of any of that conversation? All right, I'm gonna bring back up the web report to be voted on.
All right, do we have a motion to accept the web report as read?
I so move.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Marianne. All right, now we're ready to go to the head of school report.
Thanks, everyone.
We should vote first.
Oh, sorry. I'm new at this.
You're doing good.
All those in favor of accepting the web financial reports as presented?
Aye.
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 Abbott?
Aye.
Just to finish up the voting portion, all those in favor of accepting the minutes as presented?
Aye.
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 Thank you. And thank you, Ava. All right, now to the head of school report.
Are we saving the public comments for later?
I think, Valerie, do we have any public comments?
We have one from our PTO president.
Thank you, Valerie. I am concerned as a parent, as it has come to my attention, that there are high school students attending and learning classes 4 days a week that are not staff members, kids. I am interested in understanding how this is possible since this has not been offered on any level to the entire student body. Since it has been viewed, seems like it has been viewed as a double standard. I would like to know what the percentage of students there are enjoying this privilege. I would also like to know what criteria must be met for students to be granted such a privilege. after having reached out to the high school administration and getting an ambiguous response, I find myself wondering if all of the current practices and policies are above board and fair to all. Clearly, transparency has not been observed with this particular issue. I would like a written response from the high school administration pertaining to the policy and procedures for a child to attend school 4 days a week. Thank you.
Do we have any other public comments?
None that have been sent to me.
Okay, now we're on to the head of school report.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's good to see some of you back on this call with me. I'm sharing the executive summary with you right now. I think it'll be projected in just a moment as well. So basically, over the next 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, we are looking at four major school priorities. Priority number one is looking at next year's school course offerings. Our hirings and enrollment targets specifically for the high school. We also, from diversity, equity, and inclusion, we're looking at an analysis of all our programs and structures. Our priority number three, and this is in no particular order once again, is a fundraising 2.0, kind of like our revamping of the fundraising. We'll be talking about that in a little while, and facilities updates. And priority number four being a focus on our visual branding and our universal branding overall. Now, so those are long-term goals, like what we're looking at in the next 4 to 6 weeks. Wanted to give everybody some updates from what we've been doing since the last time I spoke with you all. Number one, we still have in place the requirement for all students to test negative within 1 week prior to the scheduled return date for COVID. And number two, we are rolling out staff vaccinations with some of our teachers already receiving their first dose. We can expect more invitations to follow from the state. We are hopeful upwards of 85% or more of our staff will be vaccinated by late spring, although the timing depends exclusively on the state rollout program. So this is a program that's out of our hands, but we are strongly encouraging all of our staff to follow the protocols that are provided by the state. Current testing data. As you can see in the staff testing data that we have so far, we still have a 0% positivity rate thus far. 259 total active OCS employees in full and part-time roles, 25 monitors, 25 total staff members working remotely for various reasons, including ADA, FMLA. 86% of the academic staff is on site, 96% of our other staff is on site, with a total of 90% of all OCS staff on site as of the 16th of this month. In terms of student data at the different levels, to give everyone some update, number one, at the high school level, we have two cohorts of students and a total of 77 students currently planning to attend, representing more than about 25% of the high school population. Of the 78 students signed up for in-person learning, we have greater than 85% attending in person. Since the last board meeting, we have had 17 students choose to remain home after initially signing up for in-person learning. At the middle school level, we presently have two cohorts of students attending in grades 6 through 8. Cohort A consists of about 131, which is 24% of the student body. Cohort B consists of 126, which is 23% of the student body. In sixth grade, we have about 48 students attending cohort A and 44 in cohort B for a total of 92 students. This is about 50% of our sixth grade. Seventh grade, we have about 39 students attending in cohort A, 47 in cohort B for a total of 86. And this is about 49% of our total students. And in eighth grade, we have 44 students in cohort A and 35 in cohort B for a total of 79 students, about 44% of our eighth grade. From a testing lens, we have, we've been testing obviously at a very high rate at the school, and that's a testament to our nurses and all of the hard work that they put together in the logistics to get this right. It's been a fantastic rollout for them. Total students that have been tested that are signed up and have started hybrid is 98.6%. If we remove the amount that cannot be tested, we're at 99.07% tested. Out of the tests that we've done so far, we have 3 total positive cases, which takes our positivity rate to less than 1%, 99.4% testing negative. In terms of the intermediate school, we have rolled out the cohorts for 3, 4, and 5. Approximately 47% of students have returned to in-person instruction. Both cohorts, and this equals about 256 out of the 550 total students. Grade 3 has about 47% in there, and at this time, only one registered in-person student has not presented a negative COVID test, which is really good news as well. A special thanks to the nursing staff once again for getting that done for us. At the lower school, all cohorts in the grades K through 2 have returned for in-person instruction. 54% of the total K through 2 population band have registered to return for in-person, 296 out of 552 altogether. Only two registered in-person students have not presented a negative test at this time. But they have not returned to the building either. To our knowledge, in the lower school, we only have one confirmed case. So that's part one of our COVID update for you, and you'll get continued COVID updates like this as every time that we present at the board meeting. Part two, OCS, as you know, is certified as a training center, and testing is available for all staff Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday in our school buildings. And a survey has been sent out to families about the next hybrid return date. In preparation for this, there will be testing events on March 3rd for the March 8th start date. Now, for the phase 2 testing piece, all on-campus students will be required to provide COVID test results at a minimum of 1 time per month. So this is a little bit of a relaxation of our current terms, but at the same time, it's also moving into the next phase of continued testing. Students will be able to submit a test result at any time during the calendar month. For example, March 1st to March 31st to continue an in-person for the month of April. This will occur in March, April, and May. Families can choose to have their COVID testing at a site of their choice or are offered BD Veritor antigen testing here on site. Students will not be allowed to start in-person on-campus learning without a negative COVID test within one calendar week prior to the first day that they return to school. So we want to make sure that we're still doing that. Walk-in testing will be at Building 21, and an update will come out on March 1st on that. Updated guidelines from the CDC came out last Friday. There were no major significant changes to the guidelines with respect to schools. The implications for this are important, though. They include the fact that the physical distancing between student desks should remain at 6 feet. This poses a significant limitation to the number of students we can have in each classroom, and therefore will limit the amount of students we can have on campus beginning March 8th when phase 3 of reopening begins. So I just want to make sure that we're very clear on that, because since the physical distancing guidelines have not changed and we do not have an overwhelming amount of staff that's vaccinated, it puts us in a difficult position with how much we can expand our reopening processes, despite the fact we have very good data back about our COVID positivity test rates. Parent surveys were sent out yesterday about the March 8th return date. The completion window is from February 16th to the 22nd. Please do make sure to fill out the survey. If you did not receive one, please reach out to your building office administrator or the dean for a link. Moving on past that, that's it for the COVID testing piece for now. Those are the updates that we have. I've also linked in here, and we'll make it available to you. We'll send it out through communication, the new CDC guidelines. They have been published publicly, but I have them hyperlinked over here as well on this document. This one will be posted on our website as well. Flagpole initiative and fundraising updates. So Mr. Stewart and Ms. Miller have been working with me to launch our Flagpole's fundraiser. The goal is to raise upwards of $80,000. We'll be creating small islands in front of every single school with bricks that can be purchased individually. The bricks can have things like family names on them, messages, or can even have the names of the graduating classes. Please look for communication from our PTO about ways to purchase these bricks and be a part of the permanent footprint at our schools. This is part of a larger picture of what we're going to be doing, and we're going to be talking about that in a little while. But board members, the fundraising committee, and I have started engaging the community to increase investment back to our schools. We've met with folks from the Longwood Foundation, the Walton Foundation, private investment groups, and national foundations to enhance our existing relationships and help us achieve the long-term vision we have for our school. Our board and I are actively gathering information to build out our new strategic plan, which includes significant facilities upgrades and improvements. We have also met with third-party consultants to help us coordinate our efforts and build out a systemic approach to long-term success in fundraising, and we will be talking about that a little bit more shortly. More details will follow in this meeting. Like I said, this is really exciting stuff for us. We have a very good step forward over here that we're making with the school, and we are very confident that we're going to be able to achieve the goals that we have for the school and its long-term success as a result of that. Culture focus. From the culture, the schools are focusing on reviewing all its grading and attendance policies to ensure we are providing the best education for our students. Please look for updated policies in the weeks to come as we finish vetting these updates. There will also be parent education seminars where we will talk about the changes that are being made specifically to our grading policy so that parents understand our efforts to be much more transparent in the way that we move forward with our grading. OCS is working to build out some community level events as well. We have several celebrations coming up in the coming months. This year marks the bicentennial anniversary of Greek independence. So Odyssey Charter is planning on an ongoing series of events to commemorate this. Details will follow from your local schools. OCS is also happy to announce that this year we will be celebrating the promotion of our students for grades K, 5, 8, and 12. That means that we are going to be hosting 4 graduations this spring, not just the 12th grade. So please look for updates as we get closer to that. That's going to be really exciting. Some great celebrations coming up. Really good plans. I've already heard from some of the, from the 8th grade planning team. Some great stuff coming our way. I'd also like to congratulate the PTO on starting the student store. You'll get more information on what the student store is going to look like. It's currently at the building where I am located, right next door to me. Swag and supplies can be purchased there, so you can contact Ms. Miller for details about the store hours and the operation coming up. Enrollment updates and high school updates. So we have quite a few things, and I'm not going to do this in any particular order, but first I wanted to talk a little bit about what we're doing for our enrollment efforts, and that's in column 2 over here. It's called Admitted Students Visit Days and Step Up Days. So this is a new feature of our program to bridge the communications between our middle school and our high school. We are going to have 3 sessions of these things called Step Up Days, February 24th, March 3rd, and March 17th. They are from 10 to 1, and what will happen in these specific events is that our 8th graders will have the opportunity to participate in high school activities in performing and fine arts, in science and STEM labs, athletic and sports, student council and student activities, Greek and foreign language, 9th grade academics discussion, a green team presentation, and have lunch and fellowship. So the invitations to our, incoming 9th grade students who were selected from the lottery, there were 70 invited all together in the initial round, as well as the OCS 8th graders were sent out on Friday, February 12th. The students received their enrollment packets with a letter that I have attached here and some small OCS swag, stickers, keychains, and the such. Students who commit to OCHS will also receive a class of 2025 box, including more swag and their official t-shirt. I have the official t-shirt over here. I got mine, so you can see it right over there. It's really nice. Actually, we worked hard to change the quality of the t-shirts as well. These are called district t-shirts. They're a lot softer. The reason for that is that there's a higher likelihood that the kids will wear them because they're softer and nice. So you'll wear them to bed or you wear them in the market or when you go to the park or anything like that. And that will allow us to get the kind of outward facing marketing that we're looking for. These step up days are the first time that we've ever done these. And these are born from a Catholic school model. Catholic schools are very competitive in their marketing and advertising to try to recruit students. And I have found this to be a very successful program, so I'm implementing it here for the first time, and I look forward to seeing our conversion rates increase quite a bit as a result of it. As I just mentioned, we invited 70 ninth graders in our initial invitation, and we still have another 70 in our wait list. These students have until the 19th to accept their invitations, and the next set of invitations will go out in March. We also have invited 11 students to the 10th grade. Students who accept these invitations will receive their boxes and t-shirts and lanyards and all that kind of stuff. So that's where we currently are with the high school recruitment and increasing our enrollment numbers over there. In terms of our total applications submitted for college now, our seniors, we have 183 total applications submitted overall. The percent of the class of 21 applying to at least one school is 68%. 29% of the students have reported merit scholarships and grant awards. that are getting close to about $1 million. This is nearly a 200,000 jump from last month. So the numbers are going higher and higher as we get more and more information from colleges. It's really good news. 83% of our applicants have been accepted to at least one college. We have 79 acceptances spanning 11 states now. Another piece of excellent stuff coming out of our high school, the second annual Youth Environmental Summit is next week. And some of the guest speakers include Senator Chris Coons, Newcastle Executive Matt Meyer, Lieutenant Governor, and our very own Odyssey Charter family, which we have students who are going to be speaking. Our very own Kanmani is leading the entire conference. Kanmani will be doing the opening talk on February 22nd. Josh McCray, Nitya Patel, and Marilyn Corvette, and Samreen Ahmed are all on those committees as well, and they will be attending. So we're very, very proud of their accomplishments and representing our school in that particular area. So kudos to them and kudos to our high school. Update on some of the school priorities that we had from the last time. Number one, our special education audit is underway. The review of the IEPs is occurring, and we should have follow-up coming in the next 30 to 60 days. We're identifying our strengths in the areas of need to improve our programming for all learners. The school has hired a new special education director, Dr. Stephanie DeMeo. She's on the call with us. Welcome, Dr. DeMeo. Opportunities to meet with her will occur in the following weeks in a coffee and chat, so please look for communication from the school regarding this event. Dr. DeMeo comes to us from Brandywine School District, where she served the needs of thousands of students for many years. She has a wealth of knowledge on best practices and compliance, and we are just so excited to have her join the Odyssey family. We know it's going to make a huge difference for all of our learners. From diversity, equity, and inclusion, the first session for the school leadership has occurred as of last week. It was on Wednesday. This is part of a series to empower all of our school leaders. We also have a revised attendance policy that I mentioned before that's under review by our DEI committee, focusing on supporting families in the maximum capacity by pooling our resources and shifting our overall approach to absenteeism. An updated graded policy, like I mentioned before, is currently being vetted to create more transparency for families to serve as partners in education, but also to ensure we are doing everything in our power to foster equitable outcomes for all of our learners. Finally, from the stakeholder communication component, we have the uniform complaint policy and the updated policy for homelessness and foster youth is being ratified by the board in the coming session. The final drafts are currently under review. Monthly communication from the head of school has begun with the executive summaries attached to them. February 1st was the first time that we pushed forward with it, and it's on our website. Another piece that's important for stakeholder communication is we are going to be launching parent, student, and staff surveys that will be conducted by a nationally norm-referenced independent company. This will not be an internal survey. We are currently looking at the cost for each vendor, but I am leaning toward Panorama Education, which has absolutely excellent analytics and spans the entire country and does public schools, private schools, charter schools across the nation. So it really provides great analytics for us. These anonymous surveys will focus on school culture, climate, and safety, and they will allow us to use the data to drive our future decision-making. Financial update, as you heard from Jeff, it's all really good news. The final majority of our payments from the state have been processed, approximately $250K expected for the duration of the year from our known adjustments, the degree changes, and the PPL payouts and reimbursements. Overall, the state funding, we expect to exceed our preliminary budgeted amount by approximately $400K. Odyssey's been awarded the 873 and ESER CARES 2 funding acts. We've already allocated those, and Jeff just spoke to that stuff. The DOE has created specific categories for that, and he's already discussed all of those things with us. The funds, key here is the funds are available to spend all the way through 2023, so there is a way for us to be able to be a little bit more conservative and save some of the funds for future COVID allocations. The preliminary budget for the facility improvements to improve our air quality and all that has been spoken to already. I don't need to repeat those things. Congratulations again to John Stewart and the faculty and the operations teams for being able to complete their contract $30,000 under budget. That's fantastic. Our projections are currently showing a positive variance as well. This was already shown on the bottom line. We have now moved from the red to the black, which is a great place to be and a good position for us to be able to have conversations with organizations about future funding. And our cash basis investors reports project this at 1.5 debt coverage ratio, which is well above the 1.1 requirement. And now we are over the 60-day threshold for the covenant of estimated days of cash on hand, which is also really, really good news. So that's the summary that I have for everybody. I'm gonna try to go to this chat box a little bit and see what I can do. I know there was a lot of things coming through here, so maybe hard for me to see anything. Yeah, the next meet and greet is on March 11th. And like I said, Dr. DeMeo, we're gonna have another meet and greet with Dr. DeMeo so you can get to know a little bit about the vision for the special education department and for our overall services, like for English language learners and for 504s and all the services that require our attention. So look for that in the coming weeks as well.
Greek program report. Doctor, you're on here somewhere. There you are.
Hello. So, a couple of things to share with you. So, during the last professional development days, Greek language and math teachers had the opportunity to connect with professors from the Aristotle University and Western Macedonia in Greece and attended webinars on story-based teaching for both math and Greek language. Teachers' participation in those PDs led them to translate but also create a plethora of original stories to use with their students in their classes. On February 9th, as you may already know, students of all grades celebrated the International Greek Language Day. This day is celebrated across the world, and students participated in game-like but also challenging activities and discovered the Greek origin of everyday and academic vocabulary in English. Middle school students in particular composed their own poems about Greece and the Greek language, and this will be published in next week's newsletter. On February 2nd, we announced the opening of the application process for the high school summer program organized by the Center for Hellenic Studies, Harvard University. OCS is the only school abroad included in the list of eligible schools for this scholarship. And we are very proud that this is the fourth year that one of our high school students will have the opportunity to participate in this unique experience. Finally, as the head of school just pointed out, we have started scheduling and organizing a series of events and activities across all grade levels to celebrate the bicentennial anniversary of Greek independence, which is on March 25th. More information will be shared with the community shortly. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions?
Are you referring to Dr. Marina or to Mr. Pappas?
Yes, I'm referring to both. I apologize.
Okay.
I appreciate you.
Yes. Could you please clarify for me, what's the policy on testing, COVID testing for substitutes and monitors? I know for staff is strongly recommended.
The recommendation would be the same.
I can add a little bit to that too, Elias, is I do know that the, I believe on occasions the antigen testing has been made available to them for on-site as well as also encouraging and recommending that they test on their own as well.
Okay, do we have numbers on how many of the subs are taking advantage of that?
What's your mail list? Individuals. Criminals exploit our vulnerability.
I don't have numbers offhand now.
No, I don't have any other numbers on hand other than the ones that we already put into the summary. But so far, what I can tell you is that everyone that's been tested has tested negative at the staff level, and antigen testing is available for our for those staff members as well.
Do we have any other questions?
Yes, as I mentioned earlier, my report will be posted to the website, so you will have access to it and you can review it and click on all the hyperlinks and everything moving forward. And I do see some, I definitely see some of the chat comments being posted over here. We are, as I mentioned before, working to increase our cohort sizes based on what we are able to do within the guidelines that are provided to us. Currently, our BC students are here 4 days a week. We are trying to expand that to our A students as well for students with special needs. And I am working with our new special education director in order to allow that to happen. We're also looking at all the survey data that's coming in. That's why the window is from the 16th to the 22nd of this week, so that we have a week to look at the data and figure out what is the best way that we can position ourselves moving forward. I will have a better and clearer picture of that after we have the data results in on the 22nd when the window closes. But at this time, it would be unwise of me to ascertain things without having that information in front of me.
Thank you. Do we have anyone reporting for campus operations? Okay. CBOC? Evan? I'm not sure if I saw Evan on there or not. Nope. PTO report.
We did meet today and discuss the financials and other items on their agenda. So that went well, and we had, I think, 6 or 7 members in attendance.
The PTO report?
Hi. It's Kaya, do you want me to give it?
That would be wonderful, thank you.
Okay, so I just want to reiterate what Elias said earlier. We are doing the brick paving project around the flags, and the PTO will be sending that information out at the end of next week. It'll give details as to how to purchase the bricks, what the fundraising is going towards, and so on and so forth. The school store will be up and running in March, and details will be coming out about that as well. This will make it easier for the kids to purchase products in school versus having to go home and get them things like if they need a poster board, they need markers, they need crayons, that type of thing can be purchased right at the school. The school store will be run specific days during lunchtime and then hopefully after school once school is back up and running full time. Ozzy the owl was running late. He was delivered today. So we will do our best to get Ozzy to the classrooms on this Friday and this coming Monday. And that's going to be weather permitted. So if we're not in school on Friday, again, it'll be Monday and then next Thursday. Parents will be able to pick up Ozzy outside of building 20 on Monday at 3:30. And that communication will go out possibly tomorrow. And the person you'll be picking up from will be Jessica Fouracre. We will be having a book fair at the end of April. It looks like we're gonna be holding it the week that we come back from spring break. The book fair will be for grades K through 5th. We will also be doing an owl prow, what we're calling an owl prow in May. It's similar to the turkey trot that we do at Thanksgiving, but it's gonna be more of a spring run than a fall. We will also be doing a movie under the stars. That's probably gonna be 2 separate movies, one for maybe K through 5th and 5th through 12th. And we're looking to do that the last week in May or possibly the first week in June. We just have to look for a location that will accommodate 6 feet spacing between families. So those are the things to look forward to from PTO. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? All right, moving on to committee reports. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Eva?
Yes. So we had our monthly meeting on February 2nd. The meeting was pretty well attended, but we all agreed that now we have our new head of school here. We need to revamp and kind of set new goals and prioritize on those goals. The fact is that some of our subcommittees have been very active, while others had hit a little bit of a pause button in order to deal with more with issues like reopening, adjusting from virtual to hybrid, and so on. Last Wednesday, the 10th, the Staff Development Subcommittee, led by Abby Robinson and the EPP participants, had prepared a discussion for the staff members. I wouldn't call it training, more of, like I said, a discussion. The topic was implicit bias and how to face those. And we had some very insightful conversations on this topic and on how it affects us as educators. Same evening, we started the leadership training, like Mr. Pappas mentioned. That's for the board members, deans, operations, leadership, and so on. And that will continue for about 6 months, once a month. And again, it's intense conversations on these very difficult topics. In the future, we're going to try to keep our meetings on the first Tuesday of the month, the diversity, equity, and inclusion meetings on the first Tuesday of the month. There is a sign-up sheet on the school's website for anyone who would like to join us. And even if you don't fill the sign-up sheet, just come to the meeting. We're going to post at least a week in advance the agenda and everything. Also, our outreach committee still active and trying to collect food for those in need. So anytime you have something to drop off, we welcome donations.
Anyone have any questions? Okay, moving on to fundraising. Is Georgia on?
I'm gonna
give
that.
Okay, Marianne.
All right, so the fundraising committee, we had a volunteer by the name of Carl Colantino to do an inventory assessment of the OCS fundraising capacity. And Carl was the development director for the Salvation Army, and he had about 10 years of experience as a nonprofit development specialist. So part of this project involved conversations with several members of our community to gain knowledge about the development elements that are currently functioning at OCS and what is the financial impact of the various development activities, and to take a look at the scope of communication resources that we currently have and to identify areas of improvement and where we are right now. So Carl so far was able to speak to about 17 people. And some of the takeaways from the conversation is we were able to identify that some of the things that we need to do, which is that we need to have more of a strategic communication, be more proactive, update some of the program needs, identify what those needs are, create a grants pipeline, create a shared drive for development purposes, have signature events that would occur every year, have a software that can build patron and sponsor database. So right now, a lot of this information is in different spots. And we'll be meeting with the committee soon to have a more in-depth look at all of this and figure out how to manage fundraising as an organization and develop our capacity as a corporate or corporate capacity for fundraising. So if you're interested, please keep an eye out. We should be meeting not next week, but the week after. So if you're interested in finding out more information, please come to that. I will be posting it in the next couple of days with a definite date and time. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Moving on to immersion. Anna Marie? I'm not sure she's on here. Communications.
Or Valerie?
Valerie, did you want to speak to the immersion?
Is Anna Marie here? Is she going to talk about it, to speak about it? I can tell you about the meeting that we had last week if Anna Maria cannot hear us.
She's not on, Marina.
She's not? Okay, sorry. No. Okay. So the immersion committee met on Wednesday, 10th of February last week, and we discussed the challenges and the successes of the immersion team as they transition to the dual modality instruction. So we also discussed the job posting for the new immersion teachers for kindergarten and grade four next year. And we have already posted the kindergarten immersion. So we are getting ready for the expansion next year. And we are discussing the choices and what we need to address in time before the beginning of the new year.
Dr. Mina, can I just jump in and just say, I don't think the job posting has actually been posted yet for the kindergarten immersion position. It's mm-hmm. been approved and it should be posted, I think, this week. It's on HR's.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, we'll move on to the communications committee.
Communications, we haven't really done much from since last month, except that we just want to reiterate that we have the meet and greet with Mr. Pappas on March 11th. So please do sign up for that. And that's it.
Thank you. Any questions? I think we're moving on to new business. Looking around the room, I don't think anyone has any new business. So we'll move on to public comments. We did it in a different order last time. I'm just following the minutes. Sorry. And we don't need an executive session. I think we're done, unless anyone else has anything else. Any questions? At 6:55, I think we're ready to adjourn.
I think you did good. We need a motion to adjourn in a second.
I move to adjourn.
A second.
Thank you very much. The meeting's adjourned at 6:56.
We should vote on that. But I...
All right.
Hi.
All those in favor?
Hi.
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 It's 6:56 still. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Great job.